Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to continue on as we've been doing for the past several weeks now. This is part 7 in Hebrews in our study here. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to talk about today, they shall be changed. Talking about the heavens and the earth. A lot of people say, what's happening in the world? I mean, you know, this global warming, and I mean, a few years ago, we were all going into an ice age. Now we're going into a, you know, global warming. Then a few years, you know, there was acid rain is a big thing. The ozone layer is a big thing. And, you know, famines and different things and earthquakes. And you know, so everybody said, what's happening to the work, to the world and the universe? And, well, we're going to look at it this morning. The scripture says, they shall be changed. So, let's read then through Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. Now, I'm going to try to keep flowing here this morning because we're a bit late starting here. We're a bit late starting the service this morning, but and a few things that we had to do in the service. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Now notice what he says here, thou, Lord. We're still talking about Jesus. Remember last week we talked about he's greater than the angels, he's greater than the prophets, he's greater than all the different things. You go down through the book of Hebrews, 13 different times it mentions that there's something greater under the new covenant. And then there's another few words in there, it says more excellent than before. And another thing says greater than before, better, more excellent, and greater. Some of these things are mentioned down through the book of Hebrews. So thou, Lord, and notice what he says, in the beginning, long before anything else happened, Jesus laid the foundation of the earth. He said, in the beginning. So we got to understand, this is why Jesus said, I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the end. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. You know, this is why we say, the scripture says, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He was there when it started. He's going to be there when it all clues up. So anyway, he says, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. So the earth that we're living on, the heavens that we see around us, these are all the handiwork of Jesus. Okay, you got to understand what's going on here. He's talking about the Word who became flesh. He's talking about the second person of the Trinity that stepped out into time and became what we know as Jesus. The Word became flesh. And so he's saying, long before anything else, you were there. Remember the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. This is long before creation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Bible says, and by him all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that was made, the Bible says. So anyway, that was there in John chapter 1. Now, what we're just reading is a quotation from back in the Old Testament, Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. This is what the psalmist said. And you got to understand, the writer to the Hebrews is writing to Hebrews, to Jewish people, okay, that had accepted Jesus as their Messiah. And he was trying to tell them who this Jesus is. He's not just another, or just an angel. He's not just another prophet. He's not just, you know, this is God himself that stepped out into time. God with us. You know, when Jesus stepped out in time, the Word, who was God, became flesh. So he says, of old, now the Jewish people understood this, that this referred to Jehovah. This referred to Yahweh. Okay, in the English, we say Jehovah. But this referred to Yahweh. Okay, now, and they understood this back in the past. So now the writer to the Hebrews is saying, the Yahweh that you've been talking about back here, this is Jesus. You understand that? The Jehovah that you've been talking about back there is Jesus. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens and the work of thy hands. They shall perish. You see, this is the same thing they said over in Hebrews there. He used this quotation from the Old Testament to prove who Jesus is. He said, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. So you understand what he's doing here? He's showing them that this Jehovah, this Creator, this Yahweh, Jesus is Yahweh. Now we know there's three, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they're all involved. We talked about the Godhead a little while ago, and we don't have time to go down through all this again. Okay, now, let's move back again to Hebrews again. Now notice right here, we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. specifically this morning. There's three thoughts that I just wanted to touch on. And you see them in the very first one there. He says, they talk about the heavens and the earth. You understand what he's saying there? The heavens and the earth were created by God. And he said, they, the heavens and the earth. Okay, so people say, I wonder what's going to happen to the universe. I wonder what's going to happen to the world. Well, they shall perish. I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? They're going to perish. Okay, this is why you see a lot of things going on in the world today. They will perish, but thou art the same. Thou remainest, rather. And notice here again, and they shall all wax old. There's three statements. That's the two right there. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. And then in verse 12, halfway down through, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. So we got these three things that are said here. They're going to perish, the heavens and the earth. They shall perish. They shall all wax old. In other words, grow old. That's what the word is, old English word, wax, grow. They'll all grow old, and then they shall be changed. Now, if you look at that, it almost sounds like a paradox, because something is getting old and it perishes, and then it's going to change. You know, usually when something, I mean, I took an old car to the scrapyard last year, and I mean, you ever run a car to the ground sometimes? You know, or is it just me do stuff like that? You know, you run it until there's no life left in it, you know. And we took it to the graveyard, I was going to say. Probably okay, anyway. Took it to the scrapyard, and that car, they told me anyway, was going to be crushed because it was over, it was finished. You know, it's lived out its purpose. You know, I don't see that car being resurrected and driving around town again brand new like it was back in 2003, you know, or whatever it was, I forget what year it was now. But anyway, but you understand. But here he's saying, they shall perish, they'll all wax old as doth a garment, and then they're going to be changed. Now, if you look back over it, you say, well, that doesn't seem right. Unless you understand something from a spiritual or a scriptural point of view, what else is brought back to life after it dies? What does it refer to? The resurrection. Right? I mean, this is God doing, and a lot of theologians call this the resurrection or the glorification, some say, of the universe. The resurrection of the earth, the resurrection or glorification of the universe. Now, we're going to look at a few thoughts here, seven different things about resurrection. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time at them today because time is slipping away already. But what I might do is come back to this again Easter Sunday, this about the resurrection part, and touch on that, slow down a little bit and, you know, go down through it. Now, but here, here we go. Seven facts about resurrection. Okay? If you don't have time to write them all down, come back Easter Sunday. We'll talk about it on Resurrection Sunday. Okay? Seven facts about the resurrection. A lot of people are getting nervous when you talk about the resurrection. You get all nervous when you talk about dying and all these different things. But we need to understand it from God's perspective. This is a wonderful thing. You know, when you stop and realize what God has done for us. Okay, so we're going to look at seven facts. First of all, there's a process to resurrection. We just talk about there in Hebrews, and there's a couple more scriptures. We don't have time to get into them. I just try to quote them if I can remember them off by heart here now as we go down through. But there is a process to the resurrection. There's perished, raised, and changed. That's what the writer to the Hebrews says. They shall perish. They'll all wax old and grow old, you know. And he said, but then they're going to be changed. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you want to learn about the resurrection, this is the chapter in the Bible that's got the most information about the resurrection. This is a revelation given to the Apostle Paul, and he explains it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, the dead, okay, they're perished. You understand that? The dead shall be raised incorruptible. In other words, there's going to be a change. You got three steps there in one line. The dead, which are the perished people, shall be raised, that's the second part of it, incorruptible, changed, won't be able to die anymore. And then it actually goes on, the verse says, and they shall be changed. Now that's the first one. Resurrection's end result is glorification. Okay, the last stage in our salvation is the glorification of our bodies. Okay, or the redemption of our bodies, someplace called. Okay, the resurrection, resurrection's end, rather, is glorification. Now, what is glorification? It means a transformation from the physical realm into the spiritual realm. A transformation, see, this is what it is. When this body is laid in the grave, and dies. Some people say, well, is it going to be the same body that raised again? Not exactly. Okay, the seed is in that body, but that body is going to be raised different. Okay, and I don't have time to get into all the scriptures right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 42 to 44, you can read that about how the body is going to be changed and different things. Here's another thought. The body that has perished, okay, if you laid a loved one to die, you laid them in the ground or they were cremated or whatever, here's one thing about it. God is not upset of a cremation. Okay, so don't. I'm not telling you to all go run out and make deals and get cremated. I'm not saying that. But God's power and God's grace and God's love is more, beyond what fire can do or anything else. Anyway, the body, here's the part. The body that has perished or the body that has died is the seed for the body that shall be resurrected. Now, again, you can look up the scriptures here. Paul says, you're going to ask, well, what kind of body are they going to be raised in? And Paul said, oh, foolish man. He said, that which is sown, he says, a seed is basically what he's saying. That which is sown is a seed for the body that was raised. And he said, God has given to every seed, every body its own seed. And so as we die and we're placed in the ground, this body, because it's going to be resurrected, but it's not going to be resurrected the same way. I mean, if you resurrected, if you had sickness, you're not going to have that when you're raised again. If you, don't misunderstand what I'm saying now, Brother Ken there, got an amputated leg. When that body rises up again, he's going to have two legs. You understand it? Or somebody got an eyesight gone or whatever. It's going to be different than what it is. Because your body now that you're living in is just a seed for the new body. Anyway, let's move on because I could spend a lot of time at that. Number four, resurrection is different than resuscitation. That is a big one. A lot of people misunderstand this. Resurrection is different than resuscitation. Okay? Resuscitation means the same perishable body is raised back again. This is what happened to Lazarus. This is what happened to other ones. The same perishable body that they died in was just raised up again. And you know as well as I do, they died again. You understand? So they were just resuscitated. The scripture calls it raised, but not resurrected. Anybody find it cold? I see people just, Shirley, could you just, I'd do it? Or John, okay. Shirley might have us freezing altogether. Some I don't know about Shirley, but I know some women find it really hot, so she may keep turning it down. I know she wouldn't do that. So resuscitation is your body is raised, but it's the same body that just died 2 days before or 6 weeks before, whatever it was, in the scriptures. And in the scriptures, Jesus raised, here we go, all them people. Okay, Jesus raised, I'll leave it like this. Jesus raised three individuals. Okay, Luke chapter 7, the widow's son of Nain. Remember when he was coming into the city and the people are coming out with a funeral procession, Jesus is coming in on the other side, the gate swung open and all of a sudden, I preached a sermon one time when life meets death because this would happen. Jesus is coming into the city, they were leaving the city, they were going out with a dead body. Jesus was coming in. Just after healing people and people were dancing and shouting and everything else, and Jesus went along and touched the stretcher that the young man was on, and he was healed, raised up. But that was resuscitation. That wasn't a resurrection. That was resuscitation because he died again. Luke chapter 8, Jairus' daughter, the story there, 12 years old, died. They came to Jairus and they said, listen, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter just died. And Jesus said, listen, don't be afraid. Just keep believing. That's a good word for us. Remember there. When you get bad news, the first thing you want to do is, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? He said, don't be afraid. He said, you keep believing. Then he stopped and ministered to the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And he said, Lazarus, now come on, let's go. Okay, you got to keep your eye upon Jesus. We keep saying that over and over and over. Okay, and then John chapter 11, Lazarus, who was already dead 4 days. By this time, his sister said, he stinks. But anyway, Jesus raised him up because that was a perishable body. Jesus raised him up. So you understand. Now, resurrection, in contrast to resuscitation, resurrection is a changed, glorified body. The body, he said, is sown as a physical body, is raised a spiritual body. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in honor. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. You see this here in 1 Corinthians. Okay, so you understand the difference between the two. Now let's move on. Number five, Jesus was the first ever to be resurrected. Okay, not the first one to come back from the dead, but he's the first one who's ever resurrected. Okay, and what we mean by that is resurrected with a glorified body that would never die again. His body was changed. And the Bible tells us over in Philippians chapter 3:21, I believe it is, tells us we'll have the same kind of body that Jesus had. We'll have the exact same kind of body that Jesus has. Okay, he was the first fruits, the Bible says, of them that fall asleep here in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, I think it is. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. He's the first fruits of them that fall asleep. Now, the first fruits, if you understand what that is, and I'll just give you another scripture right down as you're doing this. The first fruits, when they would gather in the wheat harvest or whatever the case might be, they would bring it and they would bring a sheaf. They would bind it together and they would bring it to the priest, and the priest would take it and wave it before God. It's called the wave offering. He would wave it before God. This was the first fruits, signifying that there's another harvest, a greater harvest coming after this. Jesus is our first fruits, signifying that there's a greater harvest coming. We're going to be harvested, if they want to use that term. We're going to be harvested. When we die, should the Lord tarry, we die and go into the ground, we'll be harvested just as Jesus was. He's the first fruits. You understand? And what's interesting, if you go back here and look at that, and I believe it's in verse 11, it says they had to do that the day after the Sabbath. What day was Jesus raised? The day after the Sabbath. You understand that? Okay. Number 6, believers will receive their new bodies when Jesus returns. Okay, if you lost a loved one, they're gone and dead in the ground, you know, their body, a lot of people believe in soul sleep. I don't believe in soul sleep. I believe in body sleep. Your body's put in the ground and left there. But your soul, the Bible says, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. But anyway, believers will receive their new bodies when Jesus returns. Okay, and there's scriptures that we have for that. Man. Anyway, there we go. Leave it there. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. And then again in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 56. As I said, 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter that's loaded with information about the resurrection. We read it sometimes at the funerals. And I remember just as a young fellow, you know, they would get out and they read these scriptures late, and I think, oh man, that sounds so morbid and so cold, and you know, right? But if you realize what's being said, he's telling us how our bodies are going to be changed. You died because your body is mortal, but when you rise, you're going to be immortal. You died because your body is corruptible. He said, but when you rise, he said, it's going to be incorrupt. I can't die anymore. I mean, this is exciting news. This is what Paul was saying. And so this is what's going on there. Okay, now, number 7, every person that has ever lived will be resurrected. Every person that's ever lived is going to be resurrected. The Bible says, in the end comes the resurrection. But the Bible tells us the resurrection, he says, some to eternal life and some to eternal punishment. Here in Matthew 25 and Revelation. Revelation chapter 20 is when the great white throne is set up. That's when the world is judged. The sinners are judged. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. John said, I saw a great white throne set up. And he said, the books were open. Another book was open, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, the dead, he said, came out of the graves and the different things. He said, the sea, death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And they all stood before the Lord. And judgment was set. Okay, now, so this is what, so every person that's ever lived will be resurrected. Now, wow. Somebody figure out something for me for this. We've tried everything. I did it up this week and brought it back in and put it on the machine and opened it up on the machine and saved it again on the machine. Hopefully, you know, this would work, but. And we tried new ones of these, and that's not working either, so I don't know. We'll figure it out somewhere. Okay, so these are things here. So let's go back to our scriptures again. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish. Okay, now, but they shall be changed. They shall perish, and as a garment they'll wax old. And as a vesture you'll fold them up. They shall be changed. That's the three steps that we're talking about there. Now, there we go. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up. Okay, growing old and getting folded up. You ever have garments sometimes that just, you know, beyond their usefulness? You know, sometimes you wear a shirt and you take out an old photo album, you look at it and you say, man, I still had that shirt on back then. You know, And then you start thinking, man, it's time to get rid of this, you know. But a lot of times, clothes just wear out, and you just throw it away because it's useless. But when we look at nature itself, when we look at the world, the universe, the heavens and the earth, what are some of the signs of its getting old? I mean, we can see them all around us, and I just jotted down a few here. In nature itself, I mean, there's signs that the world is getting old. There's weather problems. I mean, you know, the last few years, we used to come to Ontario one time in the wintertime. It was nice. Not anymore. I remember years ago, I was in Newfoundland, and I phoned my buddy. It was in February. And so I phoned him, and I said, you know, how was the weather and different things, you know, as you would with Jack. And so in Newfoundland, we had all kinds of snow, something like we got this year. And he said, man, he said, I haven't put on my winter boots yet. He said, I've been wearing shoes, he said, all winter. This is in February. Now, this is back in the 80s, I guess, somewhere around there. You know, you don't see many of them anymore. So the weather patterns are changing. There's earthquakes. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. In other words, different places, there's going to be earthquakes. And there's a scientist tells us, like, it's increasing. It's you know, the frequency is increasing, and you know, different things going on. There's droughts. There's tsunamis. There's famines. There's pestilences. There's all kinds of diseases coming on the earth. So you look at nature itself, you see that things are caving in, and things are getting worse. You know, and then you look at society, the wickedness that's in society. You know, we can see, you say, man, how much longer can this go on? I mean, you ever feel like that sometimes when you listen to what they're talking about doing, the news and everything else? And you say, how much longer can people be so blind and go on like this and think that everything's going to be okay? You know, there's wickedness everywhere. I mean, that's not you don't have to be super spiritual to figure that one out. There's people that say wrong is good and good is wrong. Now they come out to make new rules and they say, this is the rule and this is good. But according to God's word, that's completely opposite. That's wrong. You know, and if you stand up against it and say something about it, you're the one that's wrong. You understand? The Bible says there's going to be a generation that calls good evil and evil good. And I believe we're in that generation. These things are happening. There's murders. There's wars. There's terrorism. You know, I mean, the world has gone crazy. I don't know if anybody else noticed it. The world has gone crazy. Society itself. The Bible tells us, and I just throw this in and let you think about it on your own, but the Bible tells us that when God created man and woman, he said, male and female created he them. How many is that? Male and female. The new curriculum that are coming out in the school in September, you got 6 different genders now. They said you might have been born male or female, but you can choose your gender. I mean, you slap your head and say, man, what's wrong with the world? I mean, you know, why are they so bent on doing something against what God already said? Look at a couple of scriptures there. I got listed there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Anybody notice that anymore? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then Paul says, turn away from them people. From such, turn away. Go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Paul said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it to them. They know the difference, in other words. They know what they're doing is wrong. Notice what happens. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, when they knew about God, knew what was right, knew what they should have been doing, he said, when they knew God, he said, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. He said, instead of worshiping God, they just worshiped everything else. You know, and God was an incorruptible God. In other words, you know, God is forever and can't die, and you know, and all these different things. He said, but yet for all, when they talk about their God, they make something out of wood or something like that that's going to decay, and you know, and say this is our gods. He said, the world's gone crazy. That's a paraphrase. But anyway, he said, wherefore God gave them over, he said, to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served a creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. And for this cause, God gave them up. Remember, we talked about this a little while ago, how many times God gave them up in that chapter. God gave them up because they kept rebelling and rebelling. And God says, okay, this. You ever do that sometimes with your children? They just won't listen. You say, well, okay, do it your way. You know, and God is doing the same thing with creation. And he says, you know, they just will not listen. They will not obey his word. And God just gives them up. He said, do what you want. And then you see what happens. Okay, so God gave them up. Verse 26, and God gave them up unto their vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. I mean, don't you see this in our sex education thing coming out? You know? You just missed a good place to say amen. There you go. Okay, so he said, even the men, he said, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. In other words, the judgment that came as a result of that. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, even as they did not like to retain God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind or a debased mind. Because they kept, you know, rebelling against God, God gave them up again. To do those things which are not convenient or which are not right, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, here it is again, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they know that it's wrong. You see, they got this habit that they can't get over themselves, so do you change the rules so it doesn't look as bad? But you can't change God's rules. You can't change God's word. He said, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but they have pleasure in them that do them. I mean, if you stand against it, you're the bad person. But if you stand with it, you could be the most vile person in the world, but they'll just love you because you're now with their agenda. You see what's going on? So you can see that the world is just getting worse and worse and worse. Some people say, oh, no, it's going to get better and better and better until Jesus comes back. I don't see that in the Scripture. I mean, everything is just falling apart. We just read it's getting old, it's waxing old, it's drying up, it's, you know, it's going to perish. Then the spiritual part, there's false Christ, there's cults, there's occultism, false religions. Religions trying to push their way around the world and make everybody think their way. All these things are all coming to it. Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. You understand? Now, let's move on. I didn't mean to go so slow as that, but what's the destiny of the heavens and the earth? Go to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I was reading in one of our one of the courses I did years ago on eschatology, which is a study of the last things. And in it, the instructor mentioned, oh, I got the, oh, yeah, okay. The instructor mentioned that he went to a planetarium one time. And he said, in the planetarium, he said, they had this big, and the way he explained it, he said, a big expensive machine. He said, out in the middle of the planetarium. And he said, it could project on the ceiling, all the globe of the ceiling, what the universe looked like. You know? And he said, you could program in any date you want to look at. So if you wanted to see what it was like the day that Jesus was born or the day you're born or whatever, you could look at it and see, you know, what the universe looked like in that day. He said, you could do it as far back as you wanted to go, and you could do it in the future as far as you wanted to go. And so he said when he was there, he said the topic of the day that the scientists were talking about, and there's a number of them they're speaking. The topic of today was the end of the earth. The end of the earth. How is the earth going to end? And they had three scenarios that they were concerned about. Number one, they said the sun eventually could burn out. The sun could burn out, and within a short time period of time, everything that's getting the heat and everything would become just an ice ball. Everything would just freeze to death. You know, the planets and everything else. That was one scenario. Another scenario, the second scenario, was that the moon would slow down in its orbit. And as it slows down, they said the gravitational pull of the earth would pull it in closer and closer and closer. And it got, you know, as it going in. And then he said, and this is scientists saying this. This is not me just making this up. This is what scientists say. And they were saying that eventually they would collide and just both of them would just break apart and be destroyed. Not much hope. And they said the third scenario, which is more plausible to them, and this is interesting because when we read what's coming after this, you'll see. He said the third scenario is that the sun would explode into what they call a supernova. They said, which has happened a lot of times in the universe. They can, you know, look at it through telescopes and everything. And what that means is that the sun would explode and become, they said, 10 to 12, now notice this, 10 to 12 million times as big as it is right now. And they said, if that happens, they said, everything's going to be burned up wherever the sun is at. Okay, these are the three scenarios that scientists believe that, you know, how the world could end. Like I said, there's not much hope. But notice what Peter says here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, we know that's not true. It's all getting older. You understand? He said, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So he says, they're not understanding. He said that God's word was what, remember we read here a little earlier in Hebrews chapter 1, he upholds all things by the word of his power. They said, they don't understand that God's word is keeping it all together. He said, just as he kept the first world, now a lot of people, you know, there's debate whether it's talking about before creation, what we see in Genesis chapter 1, or it was talking about Moses or Noah's flood. You know, either or. But the same principle. He said, they're ignorant of this fact. He said that the world, he said, that was then, he said, was reserved unto judgment by water. And they perished, verse 6. But the heavens and the earth which are now, this is not in our day. You understand it? The heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, because God kept it by his word, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the judgment and perdition of ungodly men. When God judges the earth and the wickedness and everything else, he said the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Now this ties in with what the scientists were saying here, but the last, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's the way it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what scientists even believe the same thing, that this could happen. Now let's move on. He said, beloved, verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's referring back there. They're saying, well, where's the promise of his coming? He said, God is not slack concerning his promise. He's still going to come, but he's just taking his time, giving everybody a chance to get into the family. Okay, his long-suffering, his patience, in other words. Now, then he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which, now notice this, what he says is going to happen. Into which we just heard that it's going to perish, it's going to, you know, fold up and everything else. He said, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Okay, this is what's going to happen to the planet Earth. Okay, the elements, he said, are going to melt with fervent heat. Now, let's move on. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. The heavens and the earth is going to be dissolved. He says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Here again, he mentions it the second time. Nevertheless, he said, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth. He said, wherein dwells righteousness. Now, why was he going to judge the earth? He just told us. He said, because of all the wickedness that's going on the earth, because of sin, the earth is tainted. And in order for God to set up his kingdom, that's got to be dealt with. You know, I was thinking about it a week and just trying to figure out, and this, I mean, this is just my thinking. Now, I could be a million miles off. Somebody could cut me down in 2 minutes if they, you know, but this is my thinking. You look at what's going on in the world today. You look at all the war. I mean, the other day they found a bomb that came from, I don't know, it was the First World War or Second World War. And they had to detonate it, you know, get it headed away. You know, there's landmines in some countries. You can't walk anywhere. There's bombs still unexploded and everything else. You know, and how in the world are these things going to be corrected? The only way, I believe, is that with this fervent heat, even the elements, he said, will melt with a fervent heat. You know, and I was reading one scientific article there a while ago. And this is a while ago now, before I even got into this. And they were talking about, you know, if anything ever happened to the sun, this is what they're saying, anything ever happened to the sun, you know, which ties in what we're talking about here now. They said, now I don't know how it all works out, but the oceans, the hydrogen that's in the oceans, they said that all of a sudden just come into a you know, is water to us. But they said, you know, the chemical reactions or whatever, he said that hydrogen, he said, could be like a hydrogen bomb. You know, and the earth would just blown to pieces. I don't know. I'm just going by what the scientists are saying. You know, but the Bible tells us that the earth is going to be dissolved with fire. Okay? And he said, when you see these things, he said, what manner of person that would be? He said, but we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. There's a couple more scriptures to finish up. He said, lift up your eyes. This is going back to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah prophesied the same thing. He said, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old as a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But God says, my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. So he's saying that, you know, mankind is going to be judged. All these things are going to take place, and the earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Again in Isaiah 34 and verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the host shall fall down as a leaf falls from the vine, and the falling fig tree from the fig tree. Now, so he's saying, you know, in this day when this happens, he said, the heavens are going to fold together, he said, like a scroll. Okay, now, remember what he said? He said, you'll fold them up. They'll be changed. Revelation chapter 6, there's two more verses I want us to touch on, or two more passages. Revelation chapter 6, and I'll just read that through quickly. This is in the tribulation period. In the tribulation, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as when a fig tree cast her untimely figs, what we just read about there in Isaiah. He said, when it is shaken in a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who's going to be able to stand? So they, you know, it seems like, and we did this years ago in Sunday school, but it seems like when the sky rolls back, they're going to be able to look right at the throne of God. And they said, hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne, crying out to the rocks and the mountains to hide them. One more passage over in Revelation chapter 21. John said, and you got to understand, John had this vision of the last days. And after the great white throne judgment, because this is when this is going to happen, after the great white throne judgment, God is going to destroy the earth. He said, then John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. All that evil, all the garbage that's going on in the world today, that's going to pass away. These things are going to pass away. He said, the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I know that was a bit long, but a lot of scriptures, and I didn't have time to get into them. Probably should have done it in a couple of sermons. But you understand, this world as we know it, was a song you sing years ago, Is the End of the World as We Know It? You know? Well, this world as we know it is going to be destroyed by fire. It was destroyed before by a flood. Next time, the Bible says it's reserved for judgment to be destroyed by fire. Then he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth, where there's nothing but righteousness. This is why this one's got to be destroyed, because everything on it is tainted with sin. Everything here is tainted with sin. And he said it's going to be destroyed. There's a few more thoughts here, but I won't get into them. I'm just going to, you can shut it after, Jason. Just going to say that Jesus was there before the creation of the world. He'll be there when it grows old. He'll be there when it perishes. He'll be there when a new heaven and a new earth shows up. And he'll fold up the old one. And that gives us hope as believers. He's there before we were born. He's there all through our lives. And when the time comes for us to perish, we can be sure that he's there to fold everything up and raise us again with a new life. That's the good news of the gospel. This is why the writer to the Hebrews is saying to the people, he said, listen, there's nothing back there to go back to. Everything you need is in Jesus. Everything is in him.